We are live. Welcome to Rugby League World Cup Radio. I'm Winnie from the Tripod, where we've shared 8 straight years of winning NRL tips. He's Clarky from Clarky's Column, who has shared over 10 years of NRL content. And we're getting together every week to discuss the World Cup, our takeaways from the tournament, and preview the upcoming games. How are you doing tonight, Clarky? It's good to be home and have proper internet connection between us this week, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully it all goes well. Last week was a bit of a struggle, but I'm glad we did it. And it's really, really good to have footy on our screens at this time of year.
Yeah, the first round of games was exciting and there was plenty of surprises, but that's what we want. We didn't get everything right, but we probably got more right than not. Now, we probably have to start the show by sharing our deepest condolences with the friends and family of Liam Hampson. It's just kind of shattered the rugby league world today. I mean, I remember watching him play, you know, only a few weeks ago, Queensland Cup for the Dolphins, gone way too young. So we're going to kind of do tonight's show with a bit of a heavy heart.
Yeah, it was one of those things last night when I saw that he was missing, you just sort of thought that it's going to come good and everything will be fine by the time we woke up. And I never actually spoken to Liam or knew much of him, but waking up to the news this morning, I still had that really heavy feeling in the stomach, just thinking that, you know, this is a young, promising footy player, a son, a brother that's gone over on a holiday with his friends to have the time of his life. And, you know, there's a family that has that devastating news. It's really, really unfortunate. And yeah, our deepest condolences to his friends and family.
And it kind of, whenever anything like this happens, it kind of makes you take a step back too. It's like, we love footy and you know, sometimes it feels so important. It feels like life or death in the games, but it just goes to show there's so many things so much more important. But we will still try and, you know, take look on the lighter side of the tournament. And look, we will look back at week one, Clarky, and I want to know, and I want to ask everyone watching, what was your highlight or standout moment of the first games? Pick any, because we are truly live, so we'll highlight your comments as well. But Clarky, for you, I'm giving you your 3 favorite performances of round one.
3 favorite performances. I've got in no particular order. I will say England at first. Those who watched the show last week will probably be thinking, I wrote England off. I thought Samoa were going to win that game. I thought it'd be close, but I mean, it wasn't close and I didn't even get close to picking the winner. That was absolutely superb by England there. Second of all, just going through my notes here, I thought that Papua New Guinea were a big surprise packet. You think like Tonga were $1.03 at one stage with PNG out to $15. And that was anyone's game up until, you know, the final moments. Probably the only game where it was more anyone's game was the last one this morning with Cook Islands and Wales, that's correct, sorry. And you look at that game and it literally came down to the last pass. Caleb Akins doesn't quite get the ball in his hands correctly, but if he was to catch that clean and get that pass away, we would have a kick from the sideline and potentially extra time. So those would be my top 3 moments that stood out to me.
I'm going to put up your team of the first week as well, which will give people some idea. I knew you would say England, which I had too. They looked really locked in. And we've got to remember that Bateman is still to come back into this side as well. And a guy that really stood out to me was the number 6, the 5'8", Wellsby, who you've got in your team of the week. I thought he was outstanding and he was an absolute handful. Then I had Italy, and you've got 3 Italians in your team of the week as well. So I thought they looked really crisp and played really positive attacking footy. I'm going to kind of slide this way because it's the graphics in the middle of the screen. But and you've got 3 Italians there. Nathan Brown playing lock for the Italians and really promoting the footy and their winger. The funny thing about him, he had a hat-trick. He dropped a sitter for the opening try for Italy. You're thinking, oh, no, they need that. Remember, they were big underdogs against Scotland, but he more than redeemed himself with 3 more tries. And then I'm going to kind of cheat my other top performance. I'm going to give it to 3 really gallant underdogs. You mentioned 2 of them. Wales came down to the final play, as you said. PNG, people are commenting. I'll get back to the comments in a second. I'll let you touch on that again, Clarky. But there's only millimetres in it in the corner. Were PNG robbed of a try to potentially level up? They certainly pushed Tonga all the way in a game where the line was like 26.5. And the other side I've got to give a shout-out to is Lebanon. who were, you know, 40-point underdogs against New Zealand. They have a man sent off, Dewey, with 20 minutes to go and still only lose to New Zealand by 20 points. I'll get your thoughts as well on that. I'll put some comments up, and I'm going to put up your week one grades as well.
Yeah, the New Zealand and Lebanon game was a real interesting one because coming off the back of New Zealand's trial where they won 76-0, I think a lot of people thought they'd just walk over this Lebanon side. And well, we can see there, my grades are on the screen now, and I actually gave Lebanon a higher grade than New Zealand, which a lot of people probably think's unfair. But New Zealand was so short that they were expected to just breeze through. It wasn't expected to be in any way competitive. And really, the game was in the balance until Joseph Manu scored a try himself and then 2 minutes later set one up. There's not many players that can do that in a space of 2 minutes. Joseph Manu did that on the way to breaking 15 tackles as well as 200-plus metres. A special, special player that just pulled out the win and stepped up when his team needed him. But you take Joey Manu out of that game and you take this send-off. You keep Adam Dwayhe, Dewey, his name is pronounced different every game, I swear. But you keep him on the field, and this game was looking like it was going to go right down to the wire, and Lebanon were a genuine chance.
Now, I would just push back on a couple of these grades. Like Wales to only get a C+, I thought, you know, versus expectation when they did go so close, and someone commented it wouldn't have been extra time. They do just play to a draw in the pool stages, but still, so okay. It would have been a kick for a draw. And the other side there, PNG to only get a B-, I think, when we consider, again, they were 26-point underdogs against Tonga and were really close. I probably would have given them a more favourable grade. Let's look back to your other grades here, and I'll read out some more comments as well. But, yeah, you had England. I think everyone would agree they were the best team of the opening week, and Samoa probably the worst. Why don't we talk about that game? Because Samoa were the favourites in that one, and they got beat by 60 points.
Yeah, and if you remember, the Lions were the opposite to begin with. It was England as the favourites. Yeah. Suddenly, everyone started to switch their attention to Samoa. Potentially, they got overhyped a little bit, but they just got dismantled. And the thing about that game is, too, they were down by 3 tries at about the 60th minute mark. Then Anthony Milford gets sin-binned. And all of a sudden, England scored 6 more tries. And I think like 4 of those were in the last like 7 minutes or something crazy. Samoa really dropped their head that they kind of gave up in the end, it looked like. And they've definitely got some redeeming to do. So I did give them a D-. A lot of people saying that that's too kind. They should have been lower. I don't really have any argument as to why they shouldn't be. So I won't push back on that at all. And for England, yeah, I had to give them an A+. I just think anything else would be unfair given a 54-point victory as underdogs to open the Rugby League World Cup.
Yeah, Samoa simply were not ready for this game, and it was a classic case of, on paper, Samoa's team is stronger. They're stacked. We know they've got several Panthers Premiership winners in there, but it's not just played on paper. England was far more prepared, and that's the difference in Rugby League. It's a game of skill, but it's also a game of will, and so that's why I tipped England, not because I thought they're the better team, but just it was a better spot for them. And I understood why Samoa would be favourites because you look at the side on paper and why a lot of people backed them and why a lot of people were surprised. But I just wanted to go back to that one other game because I said last week the one line I could not understand in the opening round of games was why PNG was such big underdogs against Tonga. And I didn't tip that one. So in the tripod group, I tipped my 5 favourite of the players that I shared last week and all 5 of them won. But I didn't tip PNG plus 26.5 because I thought, that sounds way too good to be true, sounds way too high. And, like, if you think a line is wrong, you should probably bet on it and back your opinion. But with the England-Samoa game, for example, I thought the line was wrong because I said on this show, like, I think England's going to win. But I could understand why. With the Tonga-PNG game, I couldn't understand why the line was what it is. So I'm thinking maybe I'm missing something. I'm not, you know, ultra familiar with the international game. So I left it alone. And in the end, it was too good to be true. It was a bit of a gift. Did you have anything else on the opening games, Clarkie, or we want to start looking forward to the week 2 games?
Let's look forward to the week 2 games. But in particular, with the week 1, just lastly, I sort of said last week that I expect a lot of the big teams to win by large margins because we're in a short-form tournament where they must perform to get that plus and for and against. But in the end, it turned out that the games were probably, in most instances, a lot closer than what I thought. And particularly with that PNG and Tonga one, I mean, what was it, a 26-point line or something? It's
right.
It's crazy. Tonga much better on paper, but this PNG side have been together for a long time now, and they definitely played as a team unit in that game.
Yeah, they could have gone. It could easily been a tie as well. Just to put a bow on the week one games and to set the scene for week two, we're going to bring in Tristan from our show sponsor Top Sport to talk about where the action has been.
Hello everyone, Tristan from Top Sport here, and we've got the NBA season not that far away, and been a bit of activity in the off season with the NBA championship in particular.
Now, that is the wrong video. The NBA has tipped off this week, but we don't need to hear about who people have been backing in the NBA. Let me find his video in a second that previews the games. But first of all, let's put up the opening match of round two or week two of the World Cup, which is the Aussies kicking off Sunday morning. Is that right, Clarkie? Against Scotland, and they are 63.5-point favourites. How do you see this one?
Yeah, I've got Australia in their first game as being a little bit rusty, a little bit below what we would expect from an Australian side. But we do have to keep in mind as well, they didn't have a trial game like a lot of other teams did. And they're still tinkering with their lineup. We're not sure about what their final lineup is. So you could expect them to be a little bit rusty in that regard. But Scotland were probably very underwhelming as favourites there against Italy. I think they were as low as $1.25, maybe lower. That's right. A game, realistically, they should have been winning, right? And they weren't even close. They scored one try in their trial game, and they scored one try against Italy. So their attack seems to be an issue here. I don't see anything to suggest this will be anywhat of a competitive game. And I don't see Scotland scoring a try. I just think if they can only score once against Italy and only once in a trial, the Australian defense should be too strong here. So what you're essentially backing here, Winnie, is can Australia score 10 tries or more against Scotland to get that line above 63? I'm not too sure. That's a very, very big line. I think Australia win comfortably, 30, 40, sure. I can see them covering that quite easily and comfortably. Very excited to see Cleary and Munster as a halves combination, but this line is just very, very big and hard to touch.
And again, that's why we're putting the lines up, because some people, who, even if they're not into punting, they say, I don't care about the line. But, I mean, do you want us to come on this show each week and say, yeah, we think Australia's going to beat Scotland. We think New Zealand's going to beat Jamaica. We think, you know, Samoa's going to beat Greece. Like, you don't have to think about that. But if you bring the line into it, well, now you've got to at least apply your knowledge and analyze the game and then pick either side. It's not easy to do. As I said, we got most of them right last week. But not all of them, but luckily the ones I shared for everyone who did follow, to give the Tripod group a little plug, those ones did get up. And I do have a tip for this game. I think the Kangaroos will come out strong in this one, even though it's not necessarily the strongest side on paper. You know, Burton, Graham on the wing, right? These guys are outside backs. But with Cleary there, I just think it doesn't really matter if it's your strongest side or not, because everyone's going to be fighting so hard for their positions. And especially the fact that Australia conceded the opening try against Fiji, I think they're going to want to start strong. So I would play minus 28.5 in the first half at $1.95 on Sportsbet. And I think, yeah, they'll come out of the blocks, and I'd be surprised if they're conceding. And I think five tries is not that much of an ask against the Scotland side that was very average against Italy. All right, I'm pretty sure I have got this clip from Tristan, so I'm going to try again.
Hello, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and the Rugby World Cup were through one round of fixtures, and it's been a fascinating tournament. All the pluses have covered so far, which makes pricing this round of matches even more tricky, with probably some of the higher ranked sides now taking on some of the lower ranked sides. So trying to find a line on some of those numbers is incredibly difficult. The Scotland-Australia game in particular, we opened at 60.5. It's out to 65.5 now. The England-France game, obviously, England overperformed or overachieved what they're expected to do against Samoa. So we maybe opened the line a touch high in this game. We were at 38.5, and then the smarties or the pros have come in and taken the plus, and it's down to 36.5. And then the New Zealand-Jamaica game, obviously, Jamaica were beaten comfortably by the Irish, and that has seen the line move from 70.5 out to 74.5. But trying to get that exact number early, it's very, very difficult. Obviously, the totals come into play as well, and you're trying to work out the expected scores of both sides. So it's made for an interesting battle between punters and bookies, and it seems that maybe everyone perhaps overestimated the strength of the top tier nations because of the plus being reasonably successful. So now it's going to we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and see if we have to recalibrate things for this round of matches and moving forward. So, but the biggest go so far this weekend has certainly been the Kiwis and also the Aussies in their game. The biggest go of the first round was the England Samoa game, where Samoa were very, very heavily backed all in the lead up to the tournament. So that was a handy result from our end. There was a few multis with a few of the shorties lining up into the Tongan game, where PNG almost caused that result. That would have been a big result, but punters just snuck over the line there. So hopefully you're back to winner on the first batch of games, and enjoy the rest of them.
That is a very interesting observation. We had the plus and minus handicap starts for all the 8 games in the first week. Tristan said all the plus got up. In fact, Ireland did cover their line, which was about 34.5, and they did beat Jamaica by 44 or something in that order. But every other underdog covered the line. And in fact, you look at the big gun sides that had the most NRL players, Australia, New Zealand, Samoa, Tonga, none of them covered the line. So whether it's the NRL players taking longer to adjust, or the punters know the NRL players, so they overinflated those lines because the public didn't respect how good the non-NRL players were, and maybe that's what brought it closer. But now the bookies have got to adjust their lines. We've got some massive lines nonetheless. As we just said there, Australia is still 63.5 point favourites against Scotland, and I can't say they're wrong. And I've got a special tip coming up that involves the Australia-Scotland game in addition to the first half one that I just shared. One other thing, guys, if you comment your favourite bet of the round on Toppy, we'll put them up on the screen. We're going to pick one live tonight. $100 goes on for charity, and if it wins, you also win a jersey that will get sent out to you. Let's move to the next game, Clarkie, which I believe is Fiji-Italy. I'll bring it up on the screen. Fiji, 16.5 point favourites.
Yeah, in this one, I go to Italy's game against Scotland, and I really like that plus line. Plus 16.5 for Italy seems quite nice to take there. It is hard to get a read on Fiji because they're coming off a loss to Australia, and there's no real comparison between playing Australia and playing Italy. So we don't quite have an accurate read on Fiji just yet, but we do have a read on Italy, and they did play very well against Scotland, led by Nathan Brown. And so that plus 16.5 line does seem like a nice one to take. I think it'll be a close one. I will tip Fiji. I think they will win, but I can't see them winning by a big margin. And I do think there is that small chance that Italy do pull off another upset, which would mean, I believe, Italy would actually progress instead of Fiji. So they are playing for some big stakes here. So that plus line for Italy really stands out to me. Officially, I will still tip Fiji, but like I said, I like that plus line a lot.
Yeah, I think a few of the games this week could decide the qualification spot. So we know the Kangaroos are going through. They're going through top. But the winner of this game probably goes through to the elimination stages with them. And I do give Italy a chance as well. And the hard part is when you've only seen one game, yes, you can say you've got a gauge for a team. But it's all in the context of who you played against and how your opponent played. So how good are Italy versus how bad was Scotland on the day? That's the tough part. But obviously, Fiji looked okay, but you're not going to look great when you play the Kangaroos. So on the basis of just the style of play and how fluid Italy looked and how cohesive they did look, I also would take the plus 16.5. I do think they've got a chance to keep this game close for sure. Next one is we've got France-England. I'll bring it up on the screen, Clarkie, and you tell me your thoughts on this one. England are a 36.5 point favourite.
Quite a big line. I do think after round one, England are a dead set given here. I couldn't sit here and tip France after what I saw from England. It was just too impressive. But France were without a doubt still impressive against Greece. But you just get the feeling after watching England win by 54 points, they're going to be a little bit of a different beast at this World Cup, especially against someone like France, who is a fierce rival of theirs across multiple different sports. I've got England here. I've got maybe not the 36 line. I think that's a little bit too much for me because 6 of their 10 tries against Samoa come in the last 20 minutes. And that was after Anthony Milford was sin binned. So I'm not going to have an official bet on this game, but if I had to pick over under on these, I probably will take France at plus 36.5. And I'm really going to that because 6 of the 10 tries were in the last 20 minutes after a sin bin. That could be a misread. I've only got one game to go off, but going off that, I'm going to take the plus line there.
Yeah, like as impressive as England looked, Samoa kind of gave up and they were so far off the pace. So it wasn't much more, with all respect. I think Samoa would admit this themselves, that they were embarrassed and that it was not much more than a training run for England in the second half. So now is this line being inflated and boosted up because England won by such a big score last week? Whereas it's the opposite for France. They beat Greece by 24, Greece scoring on the final play, and Greece's earlier try kind of against the run of play off a grubber in behind as well. While France bombed a couple of opportunities, I feel like France should have beaten Greece by more. One of the bets I did tip last week was Greece plus 24.5. So I was cheering. I think in the end they got the sideline conversion and it was a 22-point margin. But really, I thought that was a lucky win with the line with Greece. I thought France should have won by more, and I thought they looked really well organized and very professional as well. And Toppy's got the line 36.5. But again, with these big lines, they can vary from site to site. Several other bookies have it 38.5. So if you like England, you lay the 36.5. If you like France, you play the 38.5 plus. Maybe England wins by 38. And then no matter which side you took, you had a winner there. So I would lean to the French to cover it and make it somewhat competitive. Although, of course, I expect England is going to win. The next one is the biggest line for a rugby league game I think I've ever seen. New Zealand are a 74.5 point favourite against Jamaica. Which way do you see this?
I mean, I've got New Zealand in this one. I was going to jest and say I've got Jamaica, but I couldn't even bring myself to begin to joke. I did say in round one preview that I don't see Jamaica winning a game in this World Cup. It's obviously great for their nation and the development of rugby league that they've made a World Cup. Potentially more young kids will see, oh, my country's playing rugby league. Let me have a look at what this is and grow to love the sport. But just with where they're at as a nation, given it's their first World Cup and New Zealand are established, I think New Zealand will win this very, very handedly. New Zealand didn't look the best against Lebanon, especially in comparison to their trial previous to that against Leeds, where they won 74 or 76 nil. So I think they took a step back from their trial form. But again, in this game, I don't think Jamaica will score a try. Their only points come by way of penalty conversion just before halftime in their last game. I don't see them scoring. I don't have any reason I can give you as to why New Zealand won't win by 75 points, but that's just too big of a margin. I mean, players like Joey Manu could literally score with every touch of the ball. There was a lot of missed tackles from Jamaica in round one, but a 75-point margin, it's just a little bit too big for me. I can't take it.
And a few people have commented how insatiable Joey Manu looked. I'm glad he's fully recovered from that calf injury. And he was making the Lebanon players look like kids at times. And I think Lebanon is a more professional outfit than Jamaica. So I would still lay this number. And I think some bookies are at 72.5. I'd lay it. It's ironic because Jamaica is most well known for their track stars. And I think the only competition in this game is not New Zealand versus Jamaica, but New Zealand against the clock. I think the minutes are going to go up. The points are going to go up. And the only question is, can New Zealand outscore the minutes with the points? And I tend to think they probably will. And I'm going to share another couple of bets for this game. I would play New Zealand minus 33.5 in the first half at $1.83 on sports bet. So again, I think they come out of the blocks and look a lot more professional and want to be ruthless. After, I think they were held scoreless in the final like 15 or 20 minutes against Lebanon. So I think they want to put in a much better, more comprehensive and more brutal performance in this one. And Jamaica's just not going to be able to, you know, compete with them. And Jamaica fought hard first half against Ireland, but this is like a whole nother level in class that they've got to stand up. And I don't see how they can. So I would play the New Zealand first half. One of the reasons I'm playing the first half line, 33.5, is like the second half line in some places is like over 40. I get it that fatigue builds in so you can blow out the score later, but it starts to get pretty crazy if you've got to win a half a footy by more than 40 points. So I think in this one, looking at New Zealand, you score 6 tries in the first half, which is one every like 6 or 7 minutes on that rate. And realistically, these gun teams often go bang, bang and score and then score the next set when the opposition blinks. That's what I'm expecting in this one. So I would like biggest line I've ever seen. I think New Zealand covers it. I've got an extra tip for you guys if you're interested. We've said we like, you know, Australia and New Zealand, and they're two massive lines, but I think they're justified. And I've tipped both first halves. I've tipped Australia to come out of the blocks. Oh, sorry, Australia and New Zealand to come out of the blocks. So let me put this up on the screen if I can find it. So the spread, no, that's not it. Maybe this one. No, I'll keep looking for it. But the special is Australia and New Zealand to combine for 70 points in the first halves. So that's paying $2 on toppy, and you can have up to 200 on that. So I'm looking at New Zealand can put up, you know, 36 plus in their first half, and Australia 34 plus kind of thing. And you get a good double up there. So basically Australia and and New Zealand to come out of the blocks and put up some big scores. Jump on toppy if you like the sound of that one. I'll post it up in the group as well. And promo code tripod if you want a toppy account. I'll try and find the graphic for that bet to help explain it, because we get these creative bets. Last week we had the World Cup combo one, which is off to a good start with, you know, England looking so good. But each week we're going to have some combination mixed matchup type bets for the matches. The next match, Clarkie, is the one with the lowest line, so expected to be probably the closest game of the round, and also a qualification spot up for grabs. That is Ireland, 3.5-point favourites against Lebanon. What are you looking forward to in this one?
I like this one. I think this will be a very close game. Both of these sides were ones that really impressed us all in round one. We didn't expect Lebanon to do so well, and we probably didn't expect Ireland to win by such a large margin. That being said, though, I probably do favour how Lebanon played ahead of Ireland just for who they were coming up against. They came up against New Zealand and looked very strong, whereas Ireland, as you said, come up against a much weaker Jamaica side and looked strong. So I probably am favouring Lebanon's form when it comes to this. The other component to this that we need to consider is Adam Dwayne. He has been found guilty and suspended for one game, but Lebanon have launched an appeal. Like they challenged it and lost, but now they're appealing again because the referee's microphone there was apparently a technical glitch. So you can't actually hear Adam Dwayne say anything to him. So they're trying to get that one match suspension removed on the grounds of there's no evidence besides the referee's word. And so if Adam Dwayne was to come into this lineup, I absolutely love Lebanon at +3.5. I think that's a fantastic bet. Without him, it complicates it. Without him, I probably like Ireland outright. But for me, I've really just got to wait and see what happens with this Adam Dwayne suspension incident. I've never seen it before. Usually, if you're guilty at the judiciary, that's it. But apparently, they've appealed it again. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, I think this game was closer to what we call pick 'em, which means just pick the winner, because there was no line, basically $1.90 each side. And then once Dwayne got suspended, then Ireland became a clear 3.5-point favourite. But if he was to be cleared to play, you'd expect Lebanon's odds to come in and Ireland's to drift back out. It would be close to a 50-50 again. Before I share my thoughts on this one, I have got a tip sent in from the Padonis, who did also pick England last week, and he's got a tip in this game. Let's find out who he likes.
Hey, guys, Padonis here, coming to you again for the Rugby League World Cup Radio with Jacob and Clarkie. Great to be here. Last week, our only bet saluted, which was England. So we cashed that ticket as an underdog. And for those of you who know, they easily dismantled Samoa and won by 60 points. So that was probably the biggest shock and the biggest result of the tournament so far. Week two, I like a favorite this week, and that is Ireland to beat Lebanon at -1.5 on Ladbrokes and Neds. And that's at $1.90. I think that's a great number and a short price to pay. And I think Ireland are a team on the up. I think it's their best team that they've had in a long time. When I go through their roster, look at the NRL experience that they've got with guys like Kiri and Jolliffe and the rest of the Super League players they have, with King and Burnie there in their forward pack. I think it's a much more settled side than Lebanon are. Adam Dewey's going to be out this week, and I think that their performance against the Kiwis looks better on paper than what it actually was. They fought hard and they were resilient, but I think Kiwis spurned multiple opportunities and that scoreline could have been worse than it was. It's a big game for both teams. The winner probably goes through when you look at next week's draw. But I think the Ireland are trending in the right direction. I like them to make the next round in the knockout stages. And I just think we're getting a short price. I had this line closer to 3.5, ticking towards 4. I just think we're getting in at a good time. And Ireland to carry the momentum for us. Good luck for round 2. Enjoy.
Thanks, Padonna. So I agree with that. And that goes to show that different bookies have lines different places. As Jeff says in the comments, with varying lines screaming to hit middles. And hitting a middle is where you back the minus on one side, the plus on the other. But if they're different numbers, it might land on a score in between. Like in this case, if you took plus 3.5 on Toppy with Lebanon, you took minus 1.5 with Ireland on Ladbrokes, and Ireland wins by 2, you'd win both sides. Not saying necessarily do that, because when you're punting at $1.90, you're risking 10 to win 9. So you know, it's not like a complete free roll. You are taking a little bit of risk there. But when the gap gets wider, it can be pretty good. Or if you get in early and a line moves, you can go back the other direction and create some profitable middles. But I also think Ireland, like another player that could have made your team of the week probably could have been Luke Keary. He was awesome pulling the strings for the Irish. They looked really sharp last week. I know it's only against Jamaica, but that's an opportunity for them to build into this one. And again, I feel like home conditions, familiar conditions. So I will lean to the Irish, and I do like Padonis's tip there. Next game, we've got another huge line. This is Samoa Greece, and Samoa are 53.5 point favourites, Clarkie.
Another huge line. I mean, we've already spoken about how much Samoa was disappointing in the opening round, so we won't speak about that again. But I will say that Greece is a side they can rebound against. Greece had some great moments in the first round, but we have to remember this is only going to be their second ever game at a Rugby League World Cup. And Rugby League was literally illegal in Greece, I think, as recently as 2016, where a lot of these Samoa players were literally like in the Panthers jersey flag side. In a professional system. So we're looking at countries and players with two very different experiences and a lot of aspects here. I think for Samoa, they know that their loss to England won't affect them progressing to the finals. They'll still go to the finals. They'll just face someone on the opposite side to who they expected. So I don't see that as a motivating factor for them to come out and necessarily, you know, cover this line and thump Greece. But I do think it's going to come down to what they're playing for. And what they're playing for is the respect of their fans and their nation. Some of the comments and the stuff that they copped after the game against England, maybe rightfully so, maybe not, was pretty harsh. And they upset a lot of fans with their performance. So I do think they owe it to themselves, as well as their fans and nation, to come out strong in this game. And I do see them thumping Greece. I think this is a game that's very reboundable for them to play themselves back into form.
Remember last week I said I just really hope that Samoa and Tonga are going to meet in the knockout stages. You had it as a semi-final. I had it as a quarter-final. When Samoa lost, we pretty much got set that they were on a collision course to meet in the quarter-final. But then going back to that PNG game, we've got lots of comments coming through that PNG was robbed, and again, the contentious call in the corner. If PNG had upset Tonga, then Tonga might have actually gone back, reverted back to the side of the draw with England. But as they did pull that win out, we most likely do get Samoa Tonga. Another tip that we gave out last week, Taylan May to be Samoa's top try scorer at $15, understanding he was out with a hamstring and didn't play in the first game. That didn't really matter. Samoa only scored one try as a team, so that was Tungo got one try. Now, I am not 100% sure if May has recovered from the hamstring, but unfortunately for Samoa, Tabuai Fidoe is out for the tournament with an ankle injury. So if May is good to go, he's going to come onto the wing. I've seen those odds are now down around $3 for him to be Samoa's top try scorer. If Taylan May is on the wing for in this game against Greece, then he's got the next one against France, and then the quarterfinal. Like, he's got plenty of opportunity to lead them. And if you backed that tip last week, 15-1 is an outstanding price on Taylan May for Samoa top try scorer. Now, in this game, you're right, it's all about motivation. It's how much Samoa wants it. And they were embarrassed last week. So do they come out and kind of play angry and take their frustrations out on Greece? That would be the case for laying the minus 53.5 with Samoa. I don't want to back Samoa with a line over 50 because they looked so out of sorts last week. And I'm not certain 7 days is enough time to right the ship and get it right. And they're going to win comfortably anyway. Like, I think this Samoa team can get better throughout the tournament. So if you've got a futures bet on Samoa, don't give up yet, because in a month's time, they could be a much different team and they could beat someone like a Tonga, or they, honestly, they could still beat England in a World Cup semi-final. Like, there's time to get better, and this is a stepping stone here, and they should get a pretty easy kill. So would I take Greece? The issue I've got with Greece is what I said before, a bit of a misleading final score against France. They easily could have lost that game by 40 or so if some things didn't go their way, and then this line could be even higher. So I don't think we get a great value with Greece, but I'm not confident enough with Samoa. The next one we've got is Tonga, who play Wales. And Tonga are a 33.5-point favourite, Clarkie.
Yeah, Tonga last week, as I said, as short as $1.03 at some stages ahead of the PNG game. Tyrone May seems not tailing for the hip injury. And they were kind of lucky to get away with that win against PNG. I know there's no such thing as luck as footy. And you look at the last try, they were all pushing up and they all wanted it. And there are still some positives for that game. But you have to remember too, PNG had a lot of disallowed tries. Like you said, one was very contentious, where I believe if that was sent up as a try, there was enough evidence for me to rule that as a try. It was very touch and go. And in the end, I believe only a no try because the referee sent it up as such. Wales is definitely a step back in competition for them, and I believe this is a game that Tonga can win comfortably. I think the cobwebs are well and truly blown out now. They've shown glimpses of what they can do against Papua New Guinea, and they did have Keon Kolomatangi starting the game at hooker. You add someone like Saliva Harvili there, and then you think Sonny Luke coming on and playing a real crafty style, similar to how Apisai Kotosau does for the Panthers. I think there's a big chance that Tonga can put a score on here. No doubt Wales shown some good signs against Cook Islands. They could have won that game, but their World Cup's essentially over. It doesn't matter they almost won because they're probably not going to beat PNG and they're probably not going to beat Tonga here, right? So their World Cup is over. They're not going to go any further in this stage. Whereas Tonga have the forward pack to genuinely roll over the top of Wales. And when Tonga's forward pack rolls over the top of you, they can beat Great Britain, they can beat New Zealand, and they can beat Australia. We've seen that. So -33.5 for Tonga. I really like that. I know it's a big line, but I think they can more than cover that.
Yeah, you've got a team in Wales that you know, we watched play this morning, covered the line, and then you got Tonga who didn't go close to covering the line. So now I think is the opportunity for Tonga to be more impressive, and I think they're just going to overwhelm the Welsh. And one of the reasons why Kolomatangi started at hooker is also just because they've got too many star back rowers. They can't fit them all in at second row. So they've just got an embarrassment of riches. So they've got to play some of these guys in the middle. And Kolomatangi did a fine job in the middle. And in fact, being in the middle, it was on the end of, I'm pretty sure it was a Takiaho grubber for the winning try as well. So he was on the spot there in a game. Yeah, that was a lot closer than they probably anticipated it would be. And whereas the Welsh, you kind of said it, they might have had their all-in spot. They might have played their grand final. And it is sometimes hard to lift yourself up after a disappointment, after going so close. And they were very gallant this morning. But again, this is a different class that they're going to have to step up to. So I lean towards the favourite with the big line. I still think Tonga could make light work of that, which leaves just one more game. And that is PNG playing the Cook Islands, and the PNG are -12.5-point favourites, Clarkie.
Yeah, both teams had some great signs again in round one there. For me, PNG was the best side to lose in round one. And when I went through my grades, I think I even gave them a higher grade than Tonga just because it was a very valiant loss by them at such a big line. The other thing for this PNG side is, on paper, they are nowhere near the best side in the World Cup, but what they have done is play consistent football together, whether that's for the PNG Hunters or for the Kamuls, because this Kamuls side largely, the bulk of it, have played together since the 2017 World Cup until now. There has been some changes here and there, but a large number of people in that side have remained the same. Now, maybe I'm speaking with my heart rather than my head here, because I love PNG, I love all their fans, I love their passion for rugby league. But I love that line as well. I think this is a side that will leave the Tongan game fresh, even though they lost, knowing what they're capable of. knowing that they didn't have someone like Xavier Coates in the side who's going to come in and help them out even more, knowing they got disallowed a few times at tries that very well could have been tries. And I think they're actually going to take confidence from that loss, bring that into this Cook Islands game where, as you said, Cook Islands this morning were one pass away from losing, and I do wonder how much that would have shifted the odds more in PNG's favour. But Winnie, I like that line. I think PNG will win this 13+, so I would take that line right there for PNG.
And this is another game that's going to decide a qualification spot most likely, and I'm going to go head-to-head with you. I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say the Cook Islands, who didn't cover the line in round one of the tournament, will cover against PNG, who did cover last week. So sometimes I like to zag when other people zig, and I think that Cook Islands actually still played pretty well this morning, and they still looked like a pretty decent team to me. And I thought it was all about Wales just pouring everything in and just hanging in that game. Whereas PNG, look, take nothing away from them, because they were awesome against Tonga and pushed them to the absolute wire. And I expect they'll do the same. But just to me, I just think it's going to be a closer game. I think there's quite a few NRL caliber forwards in this Cook Islands pack, probably as many as PNG's got, and that keeps the game close. And PNG, I still think, gets over the line. But for this to be a two converted tries line, I actually will take Cook Islands to be within that. So you said PNG 13+. I'll go PNG 1-12. Phil asked, where can you find the best bets? I will comment on this video that I share into the Tripod group. I'll comment a summary of what I have tipped. You can follow along if you like it. Or remember, guys, comment what you like as well, or anything else you're backing. Any final thoughts, Clarky? I think I finally got this graphic for this special bet. Did it make sense to you? I'll try and put it up on the screen now.
There we go. Australia and New Zealand combined for 70 or more points in their first halves this weekend. Yeah, so I think New Zealand are probably more of a chance to score a little bit more than Australia there. I think New Zealand could realistically go into halftime even like 40-0.
I agree.
To Jamaica, yeah. Because you just look at like Joey Manu, and he's scored and set up two tries in the space of 2 minutes, right? The form is there that New Zealand can score and score fast. And then for Australia, the cobwebs are out now. Everyone's playing for spots. They all want to ensure that they're in this, you know, lineup come round three, come the finals. You know, you got to think someone like Nathan Cleary is going to be extremely motivated on debut, and a halves combo of Cleary and Munster could be scoring every set for all we know. I think it's a good bet. I like it a lot.
Yeah. In fact, Australia plays first. So I'm thinking Australia is going to score 30+ in that first half. However many Australia get, the fun of this bet is we'll know exactly what our target score is for New Zealand. So if Australia just absolutely fires out of the blocks, I just feel like it sounds like a lot of points, but these are total mismatches. These sides have had a run under their belt now. People want to put their best foot forward. As we've said, Cleary's debut for the Kangaroos, and rugby league more than ever with the six again rule and stuff, it's such a momentum sport. And when one team just has that momentum, I don't think it's that hard for these powerhouse sides to put on an avalanche of tries. And so that's where I think the extremes, we are going to get some extreme scores. It's funny that the most extreme score in round one was England Samoa, which was probably expected to be the closest game. But we're going to get some massive blowouts with some of the powerhouses playing the minnows. So I think that's the way you take advantage of that. And that's on Top Sport. And it's not no Mickey Mouse odds there. I mean, you can have up to $200 on that if you like it. If you know anything about the mixed matchup, we've won 60% of these for 2 years, massive sample size. And usually the odds or average odds are $2.50. So, you'd be profitable even doubling your money if you're winning 60%. But we've done even better than that. So that's going to wrap our thoughts for the week two. And we've also shared our takeaways from week one. Of course, you follow Clarky on all the social media platforms. You're going to stay up to date with all the latest happenings and news. And we've touched on a few, you know, points there. And even Clarky reports when the teams actually get listed, which is obviously important. You want to know that, especially if you're backing any anytime try scorers, because players are playing some funny positions. Isan Masters this morning started at 5'8", and Kalon Matangi starting at at hooker, Alex Johnston. I think that was known that he was going to play fullback. But, you know, like, you can't always just look at a player's name and go, oh, that's good odds for that player. There could be a reason. The player could be on the bench or could be, you know, in a different position. So all that kind of stuff helps if you can stay across the news and find out the lineups. Good luck if you're having a punt this weekend, or else just good luck to your country in their match. And we hope you guys enjoy it. And we'll be back in 7 days to do it all again, talk about week two, and look forward to week three. So have a great rest of the week, guys, and a great weekend. Game responsibly. And thanks for joining me as well, Clarkie.
Thank you very much. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.